Welcome to the Adamantium Podcast, episode number 195. Welcome back, Adamantimaniacs. I am your host, Adam R. Harrison, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Today's episode is a little bit different because we've got like a combo of artists featured together, and that's because they work together and collaborate together a lot, and they're even on tour together right now. So the first artist is a guy called Pau Fu, who you may recognize from his song Deathbed that came out a couple years ago. That's how I first discovered him. Pau Fu, or his real name is Isaiah Faber, is from out west in British Columbia. Our second artist is also from British Columbia. His name is Cody Lawless, who is also working with Isaiah right now on a duo called Milkshakes in the Valley. And our third artist is a guy named Jomi, who's from Miami, and he also likes to collaborate with Isaiah a lot. So I got to meet up with all three of them before their show at the Velvet Underground here in Toronto, and we recorded at the offices of the label that Cody is under. And we had a great chat discussing their career and successes so far and the projects they're working on. And Milkshakes in the Valley actually just released their debut EP, which is called Butterscotch and Bumblebees, which you can check out wherever you get your music. So yeah, very excited to share the interview with you guys. But before we do that, in case you are new to the music of Pau Fu, Cody Lawless, or Jomi, we're going to do the Adamantium Recommend segment. And that's when I pick out five songs by the artist that you could check out before or after the interview. So starting with something by Milkshakes in the Valley, I'm going to recommend the song Walk on Wine, which was featured on Pau Fu's last album, Gathered by the Lantern, that came out last year. Second, I'm going to recommend a song called Fault in the Stars, which was a single that Pau Fu released with the Chainsmokers, also in 2023. And then from Cody Lawless's last album, which also came out in 2023, the album's called Sunshine State of a Happy Camper. I'm going to recommend the song Grace. And I'm also going to recommend the song Friday Night with the Neighbors, which he did with Pau Fu. And lastly, I'm going to recommend the song that I mentioned earlier. It's called Deathbed Coffee for Your Head by Pau Fu, and that came out in 2020. And that's it for this segment, but you can check out a couple of these songs along with a selection of recommendations from all the episodes on the Adamantium Recommends playlist, which is on Apple Music. So go and check that out if you are an Apple Music subscriber. If you're a fan of the boys already and tuning into the Adamantium podcast for the first time today, first of all, I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did recording it. If you do and you're so inclined, please do hit that subscribe button on whichever podcast network you choose to get your podcast. We'd love you to tune in again someday. You can also find us on social media. We're on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on X at Adam R. Harrison. But you can find us just by searching The Adamantium Podcast. And that's all I've got to say for now. So let's introduce you to Pau Fu, Cody Lawless, and Jomi right here on episode 195 of The Adamantium Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. God bless. And you'll hear from us again right here real soon. So we are here with a group of guys today. So we're here with Pau Fu, Izzy, and Cody Lawless, and Jomi. Thank you guys for joining me.
No worries.
Cool. So you guys recently formed this group called Milkshakes in the Valley?
Me and Izzy. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to give everybody an introduction to you guys. So why don't each of you guys tell me, how you got started in music, where your passion for music started, and yeah.
Basically, I grew up, as my dad was in a pop punk band.
Yeah, what was the name of the band?
Faber Drive,
yeah. They had a couple hits, too.
Yeah, they were pretty big in Canada, which was cool. So growing up, he was always, jamming with the band.
Mm-hmm.
We had, a little jam space in our barn next to our house, and so, yeah, he was always jamming and writing songs, and then when I was two, he taught me how to, play the drums and stuff.
Wow.
And then when I was 11, I learned guitar, and then ever since, I've kind of just been writing songs and...
Yeah, so what kind of stuff was playing in the house when you were growing up?
A lot of pop punk.
Yeah.
But also, like, he likes country a lot. So there's, like, okay. like old Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, Keith Urban and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then how, you know, with that influence, kind of, how did you kind of get into, like, the hip-hop realm?
Yeah, that was in high school. I was homeschooled up until grade 4.
Okay.
So I didn't really, like, hear what other kids were listening to.
Yeah.
Until, like, middle school. And then, yeah, I remember my uncle would listen to hip hop, and yeah. every time I'd like drive in the car with him, he'd play hip hop. I was like, "Dang, what is this?"
You yeah, know? Yeah.
And I thought it was so cool. And then yeah, in middle school and high school, when I got like my first iPod, I started yeah. downloading all the hip hop stuff.
Nice. So what was big at that time? Like, when you were getting, what got you into hip hop?
It was around the time that like Black and Yellow dropped by Wiz okay. Khalifa, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was listening to a lot of like Eminem, like Love the Way You Lie and stuff, and B.O.B. he was probably my favorite at that
time. Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like literally when I was in school was when like Eminem was just like breaking out. Mm-hmm. So I was like everybody was into Eminem
yeah.
at the time. That's cool, man. Cool. Cody, what about you, man?
Huh? I was raised on like heavy metal and stuff when, okay. I was, like, when I was younger.
Like from your parents? Or?
From my dad. Yeah, my really? Dad's a big metal guy. So
yeah.
I was just big into like heavy metal. My first concert was like Iron Maiden and all that
Which
type
is
of stuff.
An insane first concert.
Yeah, it was yeah. super fun. And then, and then I started rapping when I was like 13, 14.
Okay.
Because my sister like bought me NBA 2K12. And I loved, okay. I loved the sound.
The soundtrack. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I started rapping from then. And then in 2020, I switched up my style to like more of like an indie rock type okay. of vibe. Yeah. And then I've been doing that ever since.
Ever since, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, those soundtracks, I remember like Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Was like where like part of my initial music taste
came yeah. yeah. Yeah, from video games.
For yeah. Sure. We same that, and we had here in Toronto, we had this music station called Much Music. Oh, I guess like yeah. I think we had it.
It was Canadian, right? Yeah. yeah.
We had this, it's like RMTV pretty much. And they used to put out this like compilation album every year called Big Shiny Tunes. And when I was like in school, Big Shiny Tunes 2, every single person had that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't even necessarily the best one, but everybody had Big Shiny Tunes
2. What were like, do you remember some of the songs now?
Oh man, yeah. There was like Drinking in LA was on there.
Who's that by?
Brand Van 3000 or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Throwback. Third Eye Blind was on there. Semi-Eternal Life. Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson was on there. Something by the Tea Party, I remember, was on there. But it was just like, it was, like everyone played it. And I remember at school, like I was in a daycare at school at the time, like, yeah. cause my parents both worked, and it was, you still, you play music and it would, you could put it on. But I remember, I can't remember which two it was, but there was like two songs we always had to skip because they were swearing in it or whatever. Like, maybe Drinking in LA was one of them. Like, yeah. yeah. It's cool, man. All right, Johnny, how about you, man?
Yeah, I've been around, like, my dad and my sister really, really like music. So I always grew up with them, like, always showing me their stuff and stuff they listen to. And my dad's, like, was born in 1946. He's pretty old. So mm-hmm. He, like, put me onto a lot of, like, Billy Joel and the Beatles wow, yeah, and yeah. Journey and, like, Frank Sinatra and all that stuff. And
that's pretty cool.
And then my sister's 9 years older than me because I'm, like, I was the youngest in the family for a bit. Mm-hmm. And, She would put all my music on like my iPod shuffle and stuff when I was yeah. a kid, and that was kind of like what I gained from the grasp of those like R&B and like yeah. Mario, Neo, and Lil. I really liked hip hop, Lil Wayne, Kid Cudi. Those were as like one of my favorite rappers. And as I got older, I didn't really think that like making music was like a real thing because mm-hmm. I felt like artists were like superheroes. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think once I saw that the internet, like SoundCloud and all those things, and like X and Puya and all yeah. these people, because I'm from Miami,
yeah.
so I grew up around like that kind of scene of things, yeah, seeing yeah. it grow, and it was really motivating. And I used to freestyle with my friends, and then
that's cool.
One day, like some girl I used to hang out with was just like, "You should try making music," and I was mm-hmm. like, "Wow, that's not a bad idea." So I bought a USB mic from a friend, and
it's cool, man. It's a different time now. When I was in high school, wasn't a possibility, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we used to jam with our buddies, like, in the garage, but there was no, like, SoundCloud, anything. Like YouTube was just starting, you know?
Yeah. It showed me that you really just need an idea.
That's it. Yeah. It's amazing, the platforms that, you know, it's double-edged sword, but yeah. It's amazing the platforms that you can have now, which is incredible, you know? So tell me then, like, because you guys, I mean, especially Johnny coming from Miami, how did the three of you get connected? How did you guys meet?
Me and Cody went to the same high school because we're from the same town.
Okay.
So we had like a lot of mutual friends. Yeah, then we didn't talk though until after we graduated. I think we texted each other or something. We're like, yo, let's try to make something.
Mm. Did you guys already know you both made music? Or?
Yeah, I knew he made music for a long time.
Mm. I was like the SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah. Okay.
In school, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
And our school was pretty big. I feel like everybody knew who Cody was, which is
okay.
Pretty cool. And I was like a little bit scared to talk to him.
Okay. He was like the cool kid.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did like in high school, did anything like, you know, kind of pop off like in your high school that the kids in your school knew that you did or?
No, on my own song, maybe a little bit. But I used to throw shows and stuff. So like kids would always come to the shows and yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'd have like 80 people at a show. I'd be like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, and then we met after high school.
Yeah.
And just like started making music together.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had that like artist, Gail on here who did that like ABCDEFU song. And
yeah.
She was still in high school or something. When that song was like, imagine everyone like your song being like while you're still in school, like that's that blows my mind.
Yeah,
like,
it's a massive hit. That's insane.
Yeah. It's cool. So how'd you guys get connected with Jomi then?
I met Jomi through Isaiah.
Okay.
Isaiah and Jomi. Yeah.
How'd you meet me?
Through SoundCloud.
Really? So how long you guys met?
About like 5 years ago. We were both putting out music around the same time, and I think this was before Deathbed, and I heard his music and I really liked it, and so I DM'd him and he really liked mine, and so we would talk once in a while, and then there was this writing retreat which was like kind of a disaster in New York with a bunch of other artists, and we ended up just getting closer to that. Because that was the first
time. You were both there.
Yeah, we were both there, and that was the
first
time we met in person. Yes.
Why was the writing not good?
There's a lot of weird people. Like, it was a big group, and the guy who like led the group, he invited a bunch of people that like I had no idea who they were.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of weird people, and then he himself was messed up, and he took like a bunch of cocaine or something, and then he tripped out. And he
during
just,
the session.
Yeah,
during this,
we were there like for a few days.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And so he started going crazy. Jomi was about to beat him up. Because he's just like annoying everybody. And he slapped our other friend and stuff. And then he just like ran away in the middle of the night in Brooklyn at like 3 a.m. He just like left. And I was like, bro, I was trying to convince him to come back.
the guy who's running the session.
Yeah.
That's why.
The whole thing. Yeah.
And he left all his stuff at the place. All he had was two bananas with him.
You know, it felt bad. Like, I saw the Yates one time.
And he just left. And then the next day, we wake up, we get a call from his brother, and like somehow he flew all the way to New Mexico without any ID and stuff.
Yeah, he got back home somehow.
He was like, wait,
we just woke up and he was back home.
Yeah.
After
that is wild. So I guess there wasn't a lot of learning experience came out of that one, but
I feel like it was because
maybe
it was
life experience.
Definitely life experience, but it was the first time I ever met people who did the same thing as me.
Right.
And
which is cool. Really cool.
Yeah, and I learned a lot, and
we made a song together called
World of Chaos.
Yeah, which like was pretty big for
I
us.
Think you guys need to make a song called Two Bananas.
Yeah, but I'm very grateful. I think that gave me the motivation to not stop making music. I think before that I was like still not exactly sure.
Right.
But after that, and meeting Izzy and meeting a couple other friends that I made on that trip, it really like signified me to want to move forward and see a future in it.
Yeah.
So
that's cool, man. So when did you guys get the idea to start Milkshakes in the Valley?
A few years ago, I think.
Yeah, we just booked the studio out for like a week and just made songs. Just as like Powfoon, and I was going by a different name back then, but we just decided to make music, and then when we were in the session, that's when we came up with the name for the group. And
yeah, which was, is that, what's the name based on?
We're from the valley of
the
where
valley.
We live, and then we
it's
both
called
like
the Fraser Valley.
Fraser Valley. And we
yeah.
both like milkshakes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah.
It's probably something you guys did, right?
Yeah. But then there was like a crazy flood happening in BC at the time, where like a river from the States, like it like broke on the side of it and then flooded with like intense rains.
So like half our town.
Half the town. Like there's like one.
When was this?
2021.
Oh, just not that long.
Not that long ago. And there's like a whole town called Chilliwack that was like cut off on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so like they ran out of gas and stuff in the city. But anyway, that all happened when we were making the EP or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. So the EP, I think, is dropping today.
It just came out.
Well, congrats, man. Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about the EP. It's called, what is it, Bumblebees and something?
Butterscotch and Bumblebees.
Butterscotch and Bumblebees. That's it. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about the EP. Why, again, what's the relevance of Butterscotch and Bumblebees? Like,
really like butterscotch and Bumblebees?
No, amazing. Things are, yeah. We butterscotch goes great with milkshakes. So there you go.
What's that word?
Well, I guess that is a thing.
Yeah,
we kind of want to keep like a flavor for every album.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
And then Bumblebees just sounds sick.
It sounds.
Is there a single that's come off of it today? Like, I haven't been able to hear it, right? Because it just came out today.
Yeah, the main single on it is called Conversation Starters.
Okay,
and it's pretty cool because it has like a very retro feel to it. I don't even know what the instrument's called.
It's like a saxophone, trumpet,
something like
that. There's a horn instrument.
I mean, what's amazing is you guys coming from different backgrounds too. Like, genre is like almost not even a thing anymore.
Yeah.
That like you guys can use almost even like I was listening to some of your songs. You have some pop punk influence in some of your songs, and some are very heavy hip hop. Like, yeah, it's really cool that you guys can use basically all your backgrounds to.
Yeah. So me and Cody, like, he was doing like the indie folk type stuff, I guess. I don't know.
He's kind of like indie folk.
And I was doing like hip hop punk stuff. And so we kind of just combined our sounds. And now it's kind of like upbeat pop punk indie stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. So it's cool when you make music that you would listen to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And where did the idea for the masks come from?
That was all Izzy.
Yeah.
Where did you find this mask, first of all? So like, this mask, to the people who are listening who haven't seen it, it's like a toque but with like almost tentacles. Yeah,
it looks, I call it like a squid mask. I saw it like a few months before, and then I was like, that
just in a store somewhere or?
online somewhere. And then when we're making milkshakes, I was thinking like how it's just a smart way to like promote us. Because it's really hard, I feel like, starting from ground zero nowadays. So I was like, it's like a cheat.
There's so much noise in the market.
So I was like, how can we make a bigger imprint or whatever? So I was like, if we both wore something that like stuck out, I feel like it'd be easier somewhat. And then also to like differentiate the milkshakes music from our own
projects.
Yeah. So now whenever we wear the mask, like, people know it's like milkshakes.
You're probably gonna start seeing like the mask show up shows.
We have
already.
Yeah, this is crazy.
We'll have them online as well.
I'll show you this photo.
It'd be cool to like have our own mask eventually.
Should get like one that says milkshakes on it.
Start selling it. Yeah.
All these kids showed up.
So wow.
We brought them on stage.
Yeah. That's wild.
That's crazy.
That's cool. Squid Games. Izzy, tell me about Deathbed, man, because obviously that song, I'm sure, changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so tell me about that song. Tell me, one, how the idea for the song came along, and then tell me how it did change your life.
Yeah, I was working out at the gym, basically. Well, actually, I heard the song or the beat on SoundCloud. It had like a few thousand views, and I was listening at that time. I was listening to like a lot of lo-fi.
That was the Biba Doobie.
Biba Doobie's original one. Otter Pop like remixed it into like his own beat and like sped up her vocals and stuff.
Got it.
And I was listening to that on SoundCloud, and I thought it was pretty cool. And like at that time, all I listened to was like lo-fi beats.
Yeah.
And then. My friend, I kind of got him into lo-fi beats, and then he heard that song and he's like, oh, you should try to rap on this. And I was like, all right. So then I went home that day and I rapped on it. And it was pretty easy to write. I was just listening to the lyrics of like, I was trying to make out what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And then she was talking about sleeping and stuff. And I think I can't remember, but I have a few songs about sleep already. Okay. You know? And so I was like, what can I do with this and like make it a cooler story or whatever, you know? So then I went from the perspective of like me dying on a deathbed and like all the feelings I'd feel, and like, I was kind of just trying to put myself in those shoes and say, like, I was saying everything that I thought would happen. And then it made it pretty easy to write because I've never written about that before. So I wrote it pretty quickly. And then that was basically it for that part. And then I released it.
So did you just release it independently?
Yeah.
So was there anything like, did you have to get in touch with the original? Like, was there anything like that? Or?
Yeah, so basically I released it on SoundCloud and YouTube right away.
Yeah.
And then I like DM'd Biba Doobie and her label and stuff. And I was like, can we get this cleared to like put on Spotify?
Yeah.
And then they just like weren't answering because I was like a tiny artist. And then, so that was kind of it for like a month. And then it kind of started doing good on YouTube and stuff. And I saw the numbers going up. I was like, dang, this is cool. And then, yeah, a couple months later, it was like pretty big.
Yeah.
And then, so and every day I had people messaging me saying like, post it on Spotify.
Right.
And I was just getting like swarmed by that. And that was every single message. I was like, man, this is stupid. And like nobody was still answering me. Mm. And so I was like, well, I'm going to just do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I get in trouble, like I tried reaching out. Yeah. And then maybe we can discuss things or whatever. But I was like, whatever, I'm going to do it for the fans. So then I posted it. And then it started blowing up even more, basically, because it was on Spotify now. And then like 2 weeks later, I was on like vacation with my family. And it got taken down, or it got like striked. And I was like, oh dang, I was like pretty sad.
I remember when I got taken down.
Yeah, but then instantly I had like labels messaging me all over the place saying like, yo, like let's post this again together, whatever. And then like I didn't care for labels, I don't want to, but I had no idea how to like post it myself.
Right.
You know, so then I was like, I started looking into the label deals because they're saying they can clear it for me and stuff.
Right.
And then I ended up signing with Columbia, and then we posted it. And by that time, there's like so much hype around the song, it just like it took off.
So then, like, how did your life change the next day? You're obviously in much more in demand at that point. Have you ever connected with Biba Doobie on it? Like, has she ever reached out or?
We've like messaged each other.
Okay, time, that's cool.
Yeah, not much though. I don't think she really likes my music, to be honest, which is fine.
Yeah, you probably made her song more popular than it was before. So.
Yeah, I think so. She seems cool. I like her stuff. Mm-hmm. I think she's pretty good. Anyways, yeah, blew up, and then I was kind of shocked, but I just felt like super thankful and blessed. And then I don't know. I feel like growing up, my dad was always kind of like famous. I remember like walking around with him. He'd get like recognized, like in places and stuff. And so I didn't, like, it wasn't, like, a whole new thing to me, I feel like.
Right, you know? Okay, you've been around that before.
Yeah, so I felt like I was kind of, like, prepared a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, not much change. I just kept making music. Yeah. I mean, I was signed now to a label, so, like, that was a bit weird because they were, like, telling me what to do and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm independent now again, though, which is nice.
You prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are all you guys independent? No, you guys are on the label. You're on the label?
Yeah, we're in the label building.
The building. Yeah, that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm signing Monarch Music.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So tell me, you guys are on tour right now. The Waking the Raven tour. So tell me a little bit, like, what's the vibe been like at the shows? What's been the hottest city so far for you guys? Any favorites so far?
Chicago was really
Chicago?
Cool.
Chicago is a good music city, yeah.
San Fran was fun. Detroit was cool. I mean, they're all good. I loved every show, but Chicago was probably the most hype for me.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah. What's been so like far. The coolest venue?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Where did you guys play in Chicago?
Subterranean.
Subterranean.
Okay.
It was cool. It was like down and then the big balcony, but it goes around. So people could be like almost like right on top of your head when you're performing.
Oh, that's cool.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool venue.
Yeah. I think you guys will like the venue tonight. Velvet's a cool spot. The acoustics are good. For that size of venue, the acoustics are really good. It's like a long, like a narrow room.
Cool.
Which is cool. Nice. I think you'll like it. Yeah. It's got a good vibe.
Sick.
Yeah. So what's like, what's the fan reaction been like to like the three of you guys together?
They love it.
Yeah.
Like during my set, like Jomi opens and then Cody performs and then I come on last. But like during my set, I'll like bring Jomi out for a few songs. And I'll bring Cody out. And I feel like the crowd always loves it. And there's both of us on stage.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who's like, you got some, like, I think it's probably the same artist. The artist who did like the tour poster looks like probably the same artist who did your last album.
Yeah, I don't actually know.
Really? Yeah, this is pretty cool artwork.
I think it is the same person. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I did love, you find them or?
My dad did.
Your dad found them. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. Like very mythical.
Yeah, mystical. Yeah.
It works stuff. With you know, the title Waking the Raven.
Yeah. That's good.
That's cool. You guys, I mean, you guys obviously collaborate together, and you guys all done a lot of collaborations. What for you is like, you know, the best part of collaborating with each other and other artists? And do you feel like that, you know, kind of awakes your own creativity or?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I usually write music like by myself.
Okay.
That's how I usually do it. But I mean, when I'm like able to work with friends, I love it because it's like different. And I find it's easier to write, I guess, because like you just bounce off each other's ideas.
It's easier to write with other people than by yourself. Yeah.
But I don't necessarily like it more.
Okay.
I like both. It's fun to switch it up.
Yeah. I feel like you get something out of both. You know, when you're by yourself, sometimes you're like more like real about everything. But I think when you're with your friends and you genuinely like what the other person does, like you said, it's very nice to like bounce off ideas and create this whole story.
Yeah. Especially if you guys know each other quite well. It's like there's probably like a lot less, you know, fear of sharing something.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. Other than, sorry, Cody, you answer too. But
oh, it's the same.
Same thing.
Yeah. I write normally by myself, but I love writing with friends.
With friends too. Yeah, I feel like, you know, collaborations become much more of a normal, regular thing now. I feel like there used to be a lot more owner, like people need to feel the ownership of their own music. And now I think some of that's kind of going too.
Yeah.
Tell me, other than the obligation of saying each other, who's like the coolest people you guys have found that you've worked with? I mean, as I've seen, you've worked with like Travis Barker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, and Chainsmokers too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like? How did that get connected?
Chainsmokers, I think the label reached out to them.
Okay.
That's when I was with the label.
Yeah.
And then they liked the song. So they hit me up and they said, hey, can we like re-record this or whatever? So that was kind of cool. My favorite person though, Charles Barker is really cool because I love Blink and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
doesn't love Blink?
Yeah. When I had Jaden Smith on a song, that was pretty cool too.
That's really cool.
That's probably like my first big. Actually, no, Blink was before that. But Jaden, I listened to his music a decent amount, so. And I always watched like Karate Kid growing up. So
yeah, yeah.
Pretty cool to have him on there. Yeah.
That's awesome. What about you guys?
I think my friends, honestly, like Paofu and Snow, but I think the coolest, I think like the one that like really made it full circle for me was Dot the Genius, the guy who produced Day and Night for Kid Cudi.
Yeah, yeah.
I was able to meet him and playing Pat.
That's cool.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, we made a couple songs and that was like a dream come true.
That song was huge. When I was in university, that song was like the song.
Yeah, they made that song in their basement. So to hear that story
and
like then make music with him and just have them kind of believe in it was really, really crazy for me.
That's cool. What
do
you mean?
There's a producer out of LA named Yoji Money.
Yeah.
He's my favorite person to work with.
That's cool.
Because we're also really good friends, but I just love his energy.
Yeah.
You know, and we can just go in there and just be silly and goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
Make music and just no stress.
It's not necessarily about it's just about the vibe.
Yeah,
you know, the chemistry.
Right? Yeah. Like, for me personally, I don't do anything I don't want to do when it comes to music. Because music to me is enjoyment, right? Like, I don't want music to ever feel like a job.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if I don't want to do a certain show, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
You know? So I only really work with people I want to work with, you know.
Cool.
That's why I like working with Izzy. And,
yeah.
And he lives like 4 minutes from my house.
Amazing.
In Mission, you know. So yeah, we just like hang out all the time, make music. And me and Jomi haven't collaborated, but we're going to.
Nice.
You know?
Sick.
So,
you guys are working on something right now?
When we get back, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. When do you think end up putting that out? Or
I'm working on my album right now, so
you're
probably
going
to be for a little bit, but yeah.
Okay. That's cool. When you think, when's your album looking at coming out? Independently or
with Monarch?
Yeah.
So hopefully this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully this year. It will be this year.
I've learned a lot in this process of how like either it can go one way or the other. The label really pushes it to come out quick, or they snooze on it and it takes forever to get, come out.
Well, they're the best because they don't put no pressure on me. They just want me to create good stuff.
Right? That's amazing.
It's
kind of like the best it could be.
They're the best.
What about for you guys? Who would be like a dream collaborator? Who would you like? Who's like number one for you guys to do a song with?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No.
No, that's, I mean, that's... Don't set if you don't set it, then you can never be disappointed.
I like working with like my friends and like keeping the circle tight.
That's rad.
Yeah,
that's cool.
For me, probably like one of my favorite bands. Like I like this guy out of LA named Felly.
Okay.
A lot. He's super cool. That's probably like my dream.
Okay.
You know, I feel like me and him would work really well.
Felly.
I kind of like the feeling of growing with some, like with a group of people and like having them push each other and like have the same mindset, and that I think that's how the best music is made.
Right.
And but I would never negate anyone that would want to work, and I mean I do have
Post Malone's knocking on your door.
I would love to. Yeah. And there's some people that I like. I really admire in music, so that would be cool. But I think the most important focus for me is to make stuff with my friends and push each other forward.
I saw this really cool post on Izzy's Twitter when you guys were touring in Europe. I think it was in Germany somewhere. There was a guy named Hans. Who was telling the story about Hans. Like, that was a rad story. I loved it.
Thank you. Basically, I pulled up. It was in Munich, I think. And I thought he was like, I thought he worked at the venue at first, because he's just like an older guy standing outside the doors. And then I get closer and he's like, can you sign this? I was like, oh, sure. And then he ended up telling me they drove like 4 hours. It was 4 hours from Austria, I think. I was like, whoa. And he's like, yeah, I'm your big fan. And he said that he has nowhere to sleep or whatever, so he's going to sleep in his car at night. And I was like, dang. And then he said Dead Eyes was his favorite song. And it was just really cool that I never met like somebody that old who was like such a big fan.
Inside the demographic for sure.
So then I made sure to like call him up on stage when we played Dead Eyes.
And he like didn't have tickets or something, right? Or like
It was sold out.
So
he just drove there without a ticket, like hoping just to meet me. And I was like, oh, I'll definitely let you in.
Yeah.
So I put him on the guest list.
And you brought him up on stage?
Yeah.
Did you sing along?
I don't know. Yeah. I think he was just dancing.
Just loving life. That's so cool, man. That's a great story.
Yeah, I love that.
Cool, man. So what do you guys, to wrap this up, tell me a little bit, like outside of music, like what do you guys like to do? What's, what do you guys like to hang out? What's, what are you guys about?
I mean, I live in LA now, so I like music is... I kind of purposely did that to have music revolve around me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really enjoy hanging out with my friends, Kennedy and Super Chef Fam. And,
where in LA are you guys? I guess you guys are still in Vancouver, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah,
you're
Mission,
close
yeah.
Mission, yeah.
Wait, what was the question?
Where in LA are you?
Oh, I live in Koreatown.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but all my buddies live in downtown LA. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just enjoy hanging out with them, and we go bowling. We just like play pool, and I think I've made music my life.
Beautiful place to be, man. It's so close to the water.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy it.
I still work a regular job, so that takes like 5 days of my week.
Yeah, what do you do?
I'm a greenskeeper.
Oh, okay.
Golf course. Yeah,
golf course.
It's an amazing job.
Yeah. Beautiful golf courses out there.
Yeah. It's a little par three, so it's a little easy course, but.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. So I do that, and then I like to golf on the side, and I like to bowl and play tennis.
Yeah,
I'm a very active guy.
Yeah,
go to the gym, but mainly I just make music and
music.
Well, make music.
Music is like most of what you guys walk around.
Yeah, make music and cut grass, baby.
That's it. Nice. Izzy?
Mostly just sports.
Sports.
Yeah.
What do you play?
I created like a touch football team.
Okay.
Kind of fun with all my friends. We suck ass. But it's fun.
That's awesome, man.
I play soccer, I play basketball. I started playing pickleball.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
It's
I picked
fun.
It up last summer.
Nice.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's cool. I love how it's all like old people.
Yeah, it's either, well, like it's old people or like it's all like, because I'm in my mid-30s now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, everyone my age now is like, it's too old for tennis. Like, yeah. All right, let's start pickleball. Yeah.
And it's so easy to get into.
It is. It's easy to pick up. So,
yeah. Tennis is impossible, bro.
Yeah, tennis is tough. I used to play when I was younger. Oh, nice. And then when I was like in university, I got really big into table tennis. Mm. Like, it was just at parties, everything. I got real good.
Yeah.
And so then I actually found, I picked up pickleball really easy because I actually found it more like table tennis than I did like tennis.
Yeah, I agree. It feels kind of the same way, like the
paddle.
It's a paddle,
right? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I love ping pong as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so pickleball is really cool. And then I play video games as well with friends and poker. And
what kind of, are you like an online gamer or?
Yeah, I love like Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. So last thing, what, tell me like a goal you guys have for yourselves or each other for this year.
For me, I moved into like a house recently with my wife. And so I want to like,
Are you recently married too?
I've been married for 3 years.
3 years, okay. Yeah. Oh, you got married young, man.
I did.
Yeah, good for you. Congrats.
Thanks.
So you guys bought a house.
Yeah, and I want to like get that all settled. Mm-hmm. And I want to build like a shed and stuff. And I've never really done that stuff, so mm-hmm. I'm going to try and figure that out. But then also,
Vaulting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And then I want to finish, or I want to release my two albums that I have this year, or I think they're all EPs or albums, something like
that.
And then that's about it. Maybe go on another missions trip or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where are you thinking?
Mexico.
Nice. Mm. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
very cool, man. Cody,
I think for me, just make the best music possible and release it on the album. And yeah, basically, I want to headline more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do like a little headline run eventually for a little tour and see where I can end up and see where people want to come out to. So, awesome. Yeah, that's probably my goal.
Come on grass.
Yeah.
Come on grass for sure.
Cover a bigger radius. Yeah. Our mission,
grass cover. Exactly.
Man, but me from the city or my university girlfriend, like we used to go to her grandparents who were in Michigan, and he had like a John Deere.
Yeah.
Me coming from the city, man, I never even seen a John Deere. And I was like, yo, can I drive that?
Yeah.
He's like, it means I don't have to cut the grass. So yeah, go be my guest. So I was like out there like loving life. Like, yeah. It is awesome, man. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I one time went to Alabama and had the same experience.
Yeah, yeah.
From Miami, and
it's such a different life for me.
I had an uncle who lived there, and he showed me the John Deere, and I was like, can I ride it?
Yeah. Like, didn't go fast at all, but it's just like,
but yeah, for like 5 hours.
A snake, I remember. Yeah.
Chopped it up.
It did. It's not nice. I mean, I don't like snakes, so I was like, I'd rather be there than on my lap. But yeah, but I did feel bad.
Yeah, I'm just into being the best person I can possibly be. And I want to do more shows and stuff, but I also just want to grow.
It's like self-improvement.
Yeah, and learn more things.
It's mature.
Yeah, and learn more
things.
Thank you. Yeah, and I just want to be the...
That's cool.
The highest potential.
That's cool. So you're in LA now, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. As I was going to say, I'm actually heading down to Florida at the end of this month.
Nice.
That's awesome.
We have a place close to Tampa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been
on the other side?
Busch Gardens?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Not a long time, but
You've been on the Chic Room?
No.
Oh, that's the one.
Maybe I'll go. I haven't been to Busch Gardens in forever.
Sure.
So, okay.
So much fun.
I think probably since I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because I have a cousin. He just moved, actually. He lived in Orlando. So every time I went, he had the hookups for the parks in Orlando. So we always just like went there. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, because Orlando was only like an hour and a half from Tampa. So.
Yeah, it's not very
fun. Yeah, I like it there, man. Yeah.
I love amusement parks.
Yeah.
I've never been to Florida.
No?
I
gotta come, bro.
Yeah. So, I mean, the weather's nice.
Yeah.
The beaches are amazing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a big beach guy.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Beaches are nice and
we're close to Clearwater Beach, which is like one of the nicest beaches in Florida.
Oh, that is, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
sick.
It's nice. It's just like a whole peninsula. So even if like sometimes Clearwater Beach is packed, but there's like literally 20 beaches in a row. So you can just go to any of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, white sand. It's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
Cool. All right, guys, man. All the best on the show tonight. I hope to see you guys there.
Thank you.
All the best in the next year. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in to the Adamantium Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd absolutely love for you to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. I'd also love to see you on social media. You can follow on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on Twitter at Adam R. Harrison. Thank you again so much for listening.